Let's turn to the Word of God tonight, to Psalm chapter number 61. Psalm chapter number 61. Over the next two Sunday nights, we'll be looking at this wonderful psalm. And we will divert for a few evenings from the series on the miracles of Christ. And we'll be looking at the heart of David and the faith of David as he faced his fears and troubled times, recorded for us in Psalm chapter 61. Psalm chapter 61, please follow along with me as we read from verses 1 to 8. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. For thou, O Lord, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform thy vows. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your precious word, Lord, we were reminded in this wonderful hymn, Abide with Me, Lord, that as you open your word to us, Lord, your word is a light that shines in a dark place. Lord, thank you that we have a more sure word of prophecy, the word of God. And thank you, Lord, that you can shine the light of your word in our hearts this evening to give us hope, to give us courage, and to strengthen our faith in troubled times. Lord, we pray that we would be willing to allow you to deal with our hearts this evening. Father, help us, we pray, as we ask you to lead us into all truth by the Spirit of God, that Jesus Christ may be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we begin in Psalm chapter 61, it's no surprise that the writer, as he was going through trials, was no stranger to difficulties in his life. David faced many trials and many great crises in his own life. We know that in his early years, his mentor, the king whom he looked up to, King Saul, in fact, as we know, the tallest man in the land among the Israelites, ended up turning on him and wanted to kill him. And David had to flee as a fugitive, and David was hunted by his own king. At that time, he wrote in Psalm 18 and verse 4, "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid." David knew what it meant to be afraid. David, in fact, was saying in Psalm chapter 18, he was experiencing as if he was experiencing the sorrow of death. The very pains of death overwhelmed him because his heart was in agony. He was afraid. He was fearful. David understood what it meant to be in a crisis. Here in Psalm chapter 61, David speaks of his heart in verse number 2 as being overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. And notice what he says in verse 2. He doesn't say, if my heart is overwhelmed, but he says, when my heart is overwhelmed. And friend, you may not experience the exact difficulties or trials that David went through, but the reality is, if you live the Christian life very long, you too will find yourself facing trials that overwhelm you. Facing trials that are so difficult, they cause you to be afraid. And friend, if a man after God's own heart experienced the fears of trial and testing and overwhelming difficulties, you and I will too. But the important truth to remember is that David, as we read Psalm chapter 61, does not allow himself to stay there, does he? Continually, as we read the Psalms of God, we see David's difficulties. We see David's overwhelming situations, but then we see David's faith in God. And we need to be very careful in the Christian life to heed to God's word, where he tells us the just shall live by faith. And as we've heard this year already, there is no other way to live. If you and I are not living by faith, we are falling by fear. We are not living at all. God says faith is the only way for the Christian to live. It's as if you and I were trying to climb Mount Everest, as I've said before, without any oxygen to help us. Imagine trying to climb Mount Everest and not using the help that is given. And so often you and I try to live the Christian life, but we fall, we stumble, we are overwhelmed continually. Why? Because we are not breathing the oxygen of faith that is Jesus Christ. He is our necessary air. Christ is the oxygen we breathe in this life of faith. And so that's why this evening we need to remember, yes, there will be trials. Yes, in Psalm 61 we do see David overwhelmed, and yes, we will face situations like that, but friend, the answer to our trials, the answer to our problem is the same as the answer that David found. Notice what David says in verse 1. He says, "Hear my cry, O God." What is the answer to your crisis this evening? Friend, the answer is very simple. The answer is God. You might say this evening, "Pastor, well, that's very obvious. Of course the answer is God." Yes, but when you and I are overwhelmed, when was the last time we cried out to God in faith? When was the last time we looked to the Lord as the one who is able to lift us up out of that difficulty? Isn't it true so often we wait until we're at the bottom of the pit to cry out to God? We wait until we've sunk to the very bottom of the ocean like Jonah himself, until we finally cry out to the Lord. And time and time again through David's life we see, no, when David's heart was overwhelmed, he immediately cried out to the Lord. And the Lord was able to strengthen his faith. The Lord was able to help him. And thank God the Lord is able to help us this evening through the Word of God. And we need to be careful of the danger of self. Sometimes we think things are bad, then the next day we wake up with a self-optimism. We say to ourselves, "Well, I'm just going to fix this situation. I'm going to lift myself up out of the pit." And have you noticed the problems just keep getting worse? But David knew who he could turn to. David knew that God is the only one that could lift him up when his heart was overwhelmed. And so this evening I'd like to look at Psalm 61. Look at what God shows us of the answer to a troubled heart. What is the answer to a troubled heart? Well, the answer is revealed here in Psalm chapter 61. Now, first of all, this evening, notice with me, as David was overwhelmed, David was careful to remember God. David was careful to remember God. Now, when you and I find ourselves in a stressful situation, in a situation that overwhelms us, usually the first reaction is not spiritual. And we forget about God. We lose sight of God. We take our eyes off the author and finisher of our faith. But David quickly cried out to the Lord. David remembered God. Well, what did he remember about God? What does God want us to remember about his presence in our lives? Well, notice verse number 2. We know that David did cry out to the Lord. Notice what he says in verse 2. "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Notice, first of all, David cried out to God because he knew that God was near. He said, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee." David was declaring the truth of his faith in God because he knew the facts that wherever he is, no matter where he is in life, God is near. God is very near. God is with him. When David wrote this psalm, Psalm chapter 61, most likely it was written when David's own son, Absalom, was trying to kill him. Can you imagine a son trying to kill his father? And David was far away from home. He was far away from Jerusalem. He was far away from the comforts and the security of his home. He was far away from the house of God, the place of worship. He was now on the run once again, like he was with King Saul. And he was not only running from the king, this time he was running from his own beloved son, Absalom. You see, David knew what it meant to be overwhelmed by the greatest difficulties in life. Perhaps trials that you and I will never experience. But he knew some things about God. He had some faith in the Lord. And under the divine inspiration of God, Psalm 61 was written to declare to us this evening that, friends, wherever you and I are, whether we are at the end of the earth or perhaps that's how we feel, God is near. Amen. Amen. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. You see, David remembered that God was right there. And what a comfort it is to our souls. What a comfort it is when you and I find ourselves in a place of woe and darkness, when you and I feel overwhelmed. Perhaps it's just a sudden situation at work, an unexpected turn of events, and we think to ourselves, what are we going to do? It may not be the crises David faced. Maybe something else. Maybe a health scare, maybe a financial worry, whatever it may be. Friends, we need to remember God. We need to remember that He is near. The Bible tells us that God is very near. The Lord is near. That's why we can cry out to Him. Notice David says, "Hear my cry, O God." He doesn't say, "Hear my cry, O brethren." He doesn't say, "Hear my cry, O workmates." He doesn't say, "Hear my cry, O doctors." Nothing wrong with going to the doctor, and please, if you need to go to the doctor, go. But David said, "Hear my cry, O God." Amen. He knew that God was greater and more near to him than anyone else. And though his friends and family may have known some things about David, only God could fully understand what David was going through. And therefore, God was the answer to his need. And friends, the problem is in our lives, especially in the time of crises, we so quickly forget about God. We forget that He is near. Is it a comfort to you this evening that God is near? That God is with us? Too often we forget God is with us. And we live in fear. And sometimes we even give in to the fearful thought that He has abandoned us. Friends, God will never abandon His children. God will never forsake those who are His own. God will never abandon those whom He loves. That is a fearful thought. That is not a thought of faith. And therefore in Psalm 61 we wonderfully see that David declared that God is near. There is no problem, and there is no place that you and I find ourselves in. There is no trouble that is out of the reach of Almighty God. Amen. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. The question is, are you crying out unto the Lord? Are you crying out in faith? Sometimes when we do cry out, we cry out in accusing thoughts. Not, "Lord, You are the one that I need." We say, "Lord, You are the one that has done this to me." Not crying out with words of faith, but with accusing words. We have to be careful to cry out in faith, to remember God, to remember that He is near. Notice David not only declared that God is near, but God is personal. God is personal to us. He is a person, friends. He is not afar off. He is not at a distance. Notice Psalm chapter 61 with me. David said, "Hear," what's the next word? "My cry." He didn't say, "Hear the cry of the priest who can intercede on my behalf." He didn't say, "Hear the cry of my friends because I have no strength in me to cry out." No, he said, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer." So often we want others to pray for us, but whatever happened to your prayer? Whatever happened to your faith, Christian? From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. You see, it was very obvious that David had a personal relationship with God. He is the one that cried out to God, "My God, he said. Hear my prayer, O my God. You know, as I was growing up in the late 80s, there was a song, and young people, you would perhaps never have heard of it, but the songwriter who was famous at the time wrote this song, and it was a spiritual song, but not a truthful song. She became famous for it, and the main chorus and the words of that chorus is this, that God is watching us from a distance. Many people were enraptured by this song and had a false comfort listening to this foolish song, that God is watching us from a distance. And friends, that is exactly the opposite to what the Bible tells us. God is not watching us from a distance. Friend, He is near. He is very near to the child of God. Jesus said, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Now, why do you and I not cry out to God? Because we don't believe He is near, and we don't believe that He is personally caring after us always. See, God is a personal God. That's why David cried out. He believed in the Lord, in who He is. So he cried out, Hear my cry, O God. Let me ask you this evening, do you have a personal relationship with the God of the universe? Now be careful, because there's one thing to know about God. That's what the songwriter probably inspired them to write that song. God is watching us from a distance. I believe in a God, but she had no idea who God was. She knew about God. And many people that claim to be Christians know about God, but they don't have a personal relationship with the God of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, do you have a personal relationship with God? Friends, when we are born into this world, we do not have a relationship with God. A relationship with God is not something that just grows over time as we get older. No, that's not true at all. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That there is none righteous, no, not one. Our sins separate us from God. We are born with a sin nature. We sin by practice and by choice. We are separated from God. And if you and I die in our sins, we will be separated forever. In the place of the greatest separation and calamity, a place called the lake of fire. Why? Because God cannot look upon sin. He is a holy God. He must separate himself from sin. A relationship with God is not just acquired by hearing about God. Now we need to make sure we have a personal relationship with the Lord. The Bible tells us, yes, we are separated from God, but that's why Jesus Christ came. The Lord Jesus Christ came. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that is you and I, my friends. That's why He died on the cross. That's why He shed His holy sinless blood to pay for your sins and mine. So that in the sight of a holy God, God's justice and God's wrath would be satisfied by the blood payment of Jesus Christ. And then on the third day, the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, so that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friends, Jesus Christ died on the cross and He rose again from the dead for you, to forgive your sins once and for all, that you may be brought back to God from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. But wait, did that happen to you? Has that happened to you? Has there been a time in your life where you repented of your sins and you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior once and for all? Friends, that's the beginning of a personal relationship with God. Salvation. Jesus described it with these words in John chapter 3. He said, you must be born again. Friends, just like our physical birth, there is a day that you were born. Is that correct? You know what that date is? I know some of those dates. I've got them written down in my list of embarrassment that I like to read out every month for those who have their birthdays. Yes, we all have a birthday. And that birthday did not develop over time. It took place in a moment of time. Now the Lord said, except you be born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Except you're born physically and then you're born spiritually, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You must be born again. When was the time in your life, friend, that you were spiritually born again? When was the time? There must be a time. Friend, if there was a time, and if you're not sure when that was, and when you turned to Christ as Savior once and for all, that He could cleanse your sins and forgive you and make you a child of God, if you're not sure, friend, you need to make sure today. As we heard this morning, judgment is coming. That's what the Bible tells us. Judgment is coming. We need to be sure. If you're here this evening and you're not sure, let me encourage you to talk to someone today. Don't leave here without finding out how you can have a personal relationship with God. But David certainly did, didn't he? Hear my cry, he said. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. How could he have such confidence before the God of the universe? Because he had a personal relationship with God. And for the child of God, for the born-again Christian this evening, we have that wonderful privilege. We have that wonderful joy. But as many as received him, isn't that what God said? To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. If you've believed on his name, you are a child of God. And you can cry out to God. When you are in a time of crisis, Christian, you can remember him. That's what we need to do. We need to remember that he is near. We need to remember that he is a personal God. And we can come before him, just like David of old. You agree with me that David's faith was very bold. If you just read these words, think about the boldness of David's faith. It almost sounds like a demand, doesn't it? Hear my cry, O God. That is bold. Can you and I pray like that? Are we allowed to? Well, have a look with me in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4. Maybe it's only for David. He's a man after God's own heart. Is that sometimes how we think? What about our God and our faith? Hebrews chapter 4. Thank you for turning there with me. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse number 16. Why don't we read this verse aloud together, shall we? Hebrews chapter number 4. Let's read verse 16 together on 2. 1, 2. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Friend, God not only allows us to come, he invites us to come boldly. If we are a child of God this evening, we have the wonderful privilege not just to pray to God, but to come boldly before God, to come confidently before the throne of grace. And not just in our bedroom, not just in our closet, but by faith we understand when we come before God, we can come before the very throne of his presence. What a wonderful promise for the child of God. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, many miracles took place. One of those wonderful miracles was that in the temple in Jerusalem, that large veil that separated the priests from the Holy of Holies, which no man could enter into, only on the Day of Atonement could the blood be sprinkled upon the mercy seat behind that thick veil. And that veil represented the separation between God and sinful man. But on the day of Christ's crucifixion, when he gave himself for the sins of the world, miraculously and wonderfully, that veil was rent from the top to the bottom. And God opened up the doors for sinful man to come to him through the veil that is Jesus Christ. And friends, if you have come to God through Jesus Christ, we now have the freedom. We now have the invitation, the privilege to come boldly unto the very place of mercy, the throne of the living God. Let us, therefore, that includes David, but if you are a Christian, that includes you. Let us, put your name there if you're a Christian. Let us, therefore, come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain, notice with me, mercy and grace to help when my heart is overwhelmed in a time of need. When my heart is overwhelmed, what must we do? Friend, we must remember God. We must remember God. He promises to help us. You see, that's why David could be so bold with God back in Psalm 61. He knew God. Amen? Because he knew God when his heart was overwhelmed, and you will be overwhelmed, and it will happen, but when his heart was overwhelmed, he knew where to turn. Because he knew his God. He knew his God was near. From the end of the earth he could cry unto him. He knew that God was a personal God. He said, Lord, hear my cry. And you and I can be just as bold. And perhaps you and I don't experience God's mercy and God's grace to help in a time of need because even our cries out to God are not by faith. They're by fear. Many of our cries to God are by complaint. Many of our cries to God are in the flesh and not by faith. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him, the Lord says. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Let me encourage you to allow God to stir up your faith this evening by the word of God. He is near. He is personal. David very obviously remembered God. We can't go through all the verses tonight, but notice what he says next, that God is our rock and our deliverer. God is our rock and our deliverer. Now notice verse 2 for a moment with me. He says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now notice that word overwhelmed for a moment. The word overwhelmed is an interesting word. It means to be hidden or covered. We understand what the word means, but it's much deeper than that. It means to be covered. It has the idea of being submerged. It has the idea of a person who is so overwhelmed with the trials of life that it feels like as if they are sinking. That every trial and every calamity that comes is just like a wave that causes us to drown and causes us to feel like we will never have victory. And time after time we try to get up, but those waves just keep coming. Have you ever felt like that before? Maybe spiritually you haven't. Maybe physically you have. When I was growing up in the cold country of New South Wales, during summertime, we went on occasion to the south coast, and there, I don't know about far north Queensland, but down there they've got beaches with waves. And we used to go out swimming and enjoying swimming in the waves. And I remember as a child when it first happened to me, we called it being dumped. Is anyone familiar with that statement? Being dumped by the waves. And you know, when the waves, the power and the force of the wave pushes you under the water, it feels like you're being drowned. You're being held underwater because that wave has just toppled you over. You're being tossed. Sometimes your face even hits the sand, and then you try to swim up, but you don't know which direction you're going in. And the harder you try, you start to panic. And you can't get up. And I remember the first time it happened to me. It was scary. So I quickly swim back to shore and I sat on the beach for a while. Maybe you've experienced what it feels like to feel like you're drowning. And David felt like Psalm chapter 61. David tells us that he was overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed. That's how his heart felt. He was like a man drowning in his troubles. And oftentimes that's how you and I feel. We try to get on top, but we're down again. Does that sound familiar? We try to go up, but we end up going down. And over again, the moment we catch a breath, the next wave comes. Sometimes that's how we feel. Maybe that's how you're feeling tonight. Maybe you're facing a difficulty in your life that is simply overwhelming. Let me encourage you, David experienced them too. A man after God's own heart. David did too. But if he was here tonight, he would tell you that God's will is not for you to stay there. God's will is not for you to continue to be spiritually dumped. Amen? Amen? That's not his will. When our heart is overwhelmed, that's when we cry out to the living God. Why? Because he is near. Because he is personal. And notice, because he is our rock and our deliverer. David said this, when my heart is overwhelmed, notice verse 2, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. What a wonderful statement of faith. David cries out to God to lead him to the rock. Psalm chapter 18 for a moment. Have a look with me there. Psalm chapter number 18. Verse number 31. Psalm chapter 18 and verse 31. Let's read this verse together. On two. One, two. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? You see, the psalmist David was using a wonderful descriptive picture. He felt like he was a man that was drowning. He needed God to lead him to that rock. But what is the rock? Who is the rock? Friends, the rock is the Lord. The place of safety, the place of refuge is the Lord Himself. Who is the rock save our God? It is God who is our refuge. You see, the answer to your problems is not the end to your problem. That's not the answer. So often we cry out to God, we say, Lord, take away the problem. And God is working in our hearts and our lives all along. And He has allowed that trial in order for us to come to the rock that is God. So often we foolishly waste our time and we say, God, take away the problem. Take away the difficulty. Take away the overwhelming trial. And God says, no, I want you to come to me. I want you to experience deliverance through me. And that's the deliverance that David experienced. I assure you, Psalm 61 was not at the end of the trial that he was facing with his son Absalom. It was in the midst of the trial. Would you agree? That's when he cried out to God. The trial had not ended, but the fear that was in his heart, the sorrow that overwhelmed him, was replaced by peace because he believed that God could lead him to a place of refuge, a place of safety, a place that is unmovable, a place that is a sure foundation, and that is in God Himself. You see, that's the answer to a troubled heart. David remembered God. And what a picture of our God as a rock, as a solid rock. And when you and I come to the Lord in our trial, in the midst of our overwhelming moment, what a comfort it is that God can lead us up through those overwhelming difficulties onto the safety of a rock that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have victory. We can have victory over our trials by faith in God. He said, lead me in verse 2, back in Psalm 61, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Higher than I. What an important truth. You see, you and I can't fix it. That's what David was saying. If he could fix it, he wouldn't cry out to God. And he was a man, by the way, men. And he realized that he couldn't solve this problem. It was too great. It was too overwhelming. And he needed God to lead him to himself, to a place of confidence and safety in God, but also he acknowledged that God was greater and higher and more powerful to do that which David could not do in his own strength. Christian, quit trying to solve your own problems. Amen? You need to cry out to God. You need to believe in Him by faith. You need to stop looking for the answers in the world. You need to stop looking for the answers in the world around us that don't offer any answers. You know, modern psychology denies the existence of God and denies the power of the Word of God. Modern psychologists very boldly say this today, that there is no such thing as gaining victory over our thought life, over our problems. One author that wrote a book on modern psychology said this, that the patient, listen carefully, is never expected to gain victory over their trials, but is to remain in a state of constant recovery. And he says this, to assume victory is to live in denial. You know what that is to me? That is the opposite of the Word of God. That is modern psychology today, that you can never have victory. All you can do is maintain a level of acceptable behavior within that problem. That's what they say. But friend, for the child of God, we have someone much greater than ourselves. Someone much higher than the foolish wisdom of the world. Someone much greater than we can ever imagine. The living God, who is a rock that is higher than I. Friends, your problem is spiritual. And therefore, you need God. Where are you fleeing to today when your heart is overwhelmed? Sometimes we flee to the television when our heart is overwhelmed. Sometimes we flee to the movie theater. Why? Well, I'll never forget when I was just saved, watching the Oscars, came on TV, I was making a meal in the kitchen, I wasn't watching it. My brother was, and one of the actors made this statement. He said, "I have such a wonderful privilege," when he received the reward, he said, "I have such a wonderful privilege of being in an industry that helps people to escape from their reality." And you know what I said in that very moment? Amen. I just shouted it out. I scared my brother, poor guy. I said, "Amen, that's the truth. That's what movies are. They're an escape from reality. That's what they are. They won't help you. They won't solve your problems. Just for a period of time, you'll forget about them. But then when the movie is over, what happens? Well, the worries are even greater because you filled your mind with junk, with the world's junk. There is no hope in movies. Amen? Hollywood has nothing to offer. So then why are you retreating to an escape from your reality? I remember when I first got saved, I realized, hey, I don't need to live my life in a fantasy world anymore. Thank God He's broken the chains of sin. My friend, if you are a Christian, you live in the greatest reality on this side of eternity. And that is a wonderful life with the living God. That is a personal relationship with God. But where are you fleeing? Are you fleeing to your addiction? Are you fleeing to your own thoughts? Are you fleeing to other people? Well, what about the Lord? You know, David had lots of people around him he could have confided in, spiritual people, some men of God. But Psalm 61 shows us very candidly that David remembered God. David remembered God. He is the rock that is higher than I. Romans chapter 8, verse 37, and I'll close with this. The Bible says we are more than conquerors, but don't stop there, through Him that loved us. We can live a victorious Christian life through Him, through God that loved us. He can give us victory over the crisis in our lives. He wants us to live on that higher ground, which is the rock that is Jesus Christ. He is the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is God. Friend, has God reminded you about His presence, His personal love for you? Look quickly in Psalm 61, verse number 4. "And I will trust in the covert of Thy wings." Imagine with me a bird that shelters their beloved younglings, their beloved children under its own wings. That's the picture that God gives us. Friend, God is not afar. He covers us with His wings. The problem is you and I break down in our mind and in our heart because we forget about the Lord. But David remembered God. Will you remember Him this week as you face the crises? We are glad to pray for you. But what about your prayers? Hear my cry, oh God. And I wonder if God would rather answer your prayer than the prayer of another, so that you may grow in your faith. Amen. So that you may rely on the God that is your rock. That is the God who can give you stability and foundation and strength in the Christian life. David remembered God. Well, we're going to enjoy the rest of this psalm next Sunday. But for now, remember the Lord. Remember Him. I would encourage you to spend time in the Psalms. Read at least one psalm each day, if not two, as you find the psalmist writing about their fears and how they overcame their fears by faith in the living God. How could David possibly endure his own son trying to kill him. And we know David was not going to return the favor because he didn't want to kill his own son. David loved his son, so he had to run. How could he possibly endure such a great, overwhelming trial? Because he was living by faith. Faith in the Lord.